The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is presented by the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Download the app and sign up with code WMVP for participating offers. The DraftKings Sportsbook app is an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Use promo code WMVP today.
Just when you thought the NFL was quieting down.
No.
Everything goes a little bit crazy. Lamar Jackson sends out a message on social media that he had requested a trade.
Going back to March 2nd, I believe.
Going back to March 2nd.
Yeah. I'm not surprised by
don't understand what's going on. Like, what's going on?
Well, I think that I thought ultimately that they were destined for a divorce. I mean, it's quite obvious how both sides felt. Lamar wanted a full, he wanted a better, more guaranteed contract. They weren't willing to give him that, and they haven't been willing to budge. And I think the thought that somehow, some way, that the Baltimore Ravens were going to have a change of heart somehow, some way, and get away from, I believe that Lamar mentioned that the biggest deal that he was offered was, what, 3 years, $133 million guaranteed. That was as far as the Baltimore Ravens were willing to go.
Right.
He's missed five of the last five games in each of the last two seasons. He's missed the postseason in the last two seasons. I don't know why all of a sudden then Baltimore would pivot and change and say, okay, well, here's $250 million guaranteed. Like, they gave him the offer that they thought was fair, all things considered. Lamar obviously wasn't interested in that offer. So I don't know why anyone would have thought that they would find common ground. I think that what Baltimore did from a business sense made a lot of sense. Well, they decided to let the rest of the league set the market. And if, in fact, someone was willing to give him an offer, they could eventually match or they could move on.
Which is within their rights, yes, of the collective bargaining agreement.
Right.
So by Lamar Jackson saying in his tweet today that the Ravens have not been interested in, quote unquote, meeting my value in contract talks. Well, they're waiting for someone else to set that value.
Well, I think that they are obviously miles apart with regard to how each side determines his value. Like, if in fact the Baltimore Ravens did give him a 3-year, $133 million guaranteed offer, that's their value. Lamar obviously wanted more. I think that the Baltimore Ravens made a business decision and said, look, we'll let the market dictate what your value is, and we have the right to match it if, in fact, that's the case. I said when this whole thing started that my best guess was, and I felt strongly I'd be willing to put a lot of money on it, that his time in Baltimore had come to an end. You know, I thought the Atlanta Falcons may be interested. I thought there were several teams that I thought may be interested. And this was before then everyone came out and said, oh, we're not interested, we're not interested, we're not interested, which was really odd to me. Baltimore's stance on this isn't surprising to me. Lamar's stance on this isn't surprising to me. The only thing about this whole experience that was surprising to me, Peggy, was when it began, when like the free agency period began, there were several teams that came out and just said, without being prompted, we're not interested. Like, that felt weird to me.
It felt like collusion.
I don't know that, like, I can make a case against collusion. Like, I don't think
nobody wants to give that guaranteed money.
They don't. But that's not necessarily collusion.
No, it's not.
Like, look, just because the Haslams made a mistake with regard to what they decided in terms of a contract doesn't
exactly
mean that the owner of the Giants or
has to do the
anybody
same
else
thing
has to do the
right,
same.
Right.
Like, and I don't think these guys really, truly, all of them care exactly what the other team. If there's an owner out there that believes guaranteeing $250 million worth of a contract for Lamar Jackson's what best for the Commanders, I don't think Daniel Snyder gives a rat's ass how the rest of the league feels about it. Or whoever it is. Whether it's David Tepper, the owner of the Carolina Panthers. If he feels giving that contract to Lamar Jackson is best for the Carolina Panthers, I don't think he cares what the other 31 owners feel about, setting a new high water mark for guaranteed money. But I don't know. These guys run in different circles than me.
That's why I am so confused by what is going on. We need to talk to someone who does understand. ESPN's NFL insider, Jeff Darlington, joins us here on Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Jeff, I'm more confused than ever. What is going on with Lamar Jackson demanding a trade, yeah, and then 5 days later, the Ravens actually placed the tag on him. So what is going on?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty twisted for sure, and it's definitely more complicated than most situations because of Lamar's stance. But, you know, like the Ravens putting the tag on him 5 days later is mostly just because, you know, that's to keep him from going to free agency while they figure all this out. But definitely the biggest takeaway, or probably the thing that's most confusing to people, is that right now, a team can already technically get him by giving up two first-round picks. So in some capacity, he's already on the trade block. He doesn't necessarily need to express it. But the takeaway here is that Lamar is making clear that he is ready to move on from the Ravens, that he feels like the negotiations have hit a point where they're not going to progress any further. So, you know, with that in mind, I think that's, there's really not a whole lot new from today other than the fact that Lamar Jackson is making public what the Ravens have known privately for the past 3.5 weeks.
Jeff joins us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Jeff, are you surprised at how this has unfolded, that there hasn't been anyone that has come out and said, hey, yeah, we're interested and this is what we'd like to do?
Not necessarily. I mean, when I talk to a lot of people around the league, like, you know, I'm not one of these people who believe that this is like everybody's in against Lamar here. I think when you look at it just individually from each team's perspective, they've got different reasons, and you can agree or disagree with them.
Right.
You know, I thought the Raiders would have been a good place for him. They decided that Jimmy Garoppolo, given his history with Mike McDaniel, and makes more sense. I've talked to other teams that said, yeah, if we didn't have to give up two first-round picks and give a contract offer that the Ravens could just go ahead and match, we'd probably be interested too. So, you know, the franchise tag is intended. It's in place to try to allow a team to protect a player from going somewhere else. This is the point of it. It makes it difficult for that player to leave. The tricky part here is I don't know how that changes by Lamar demanding a trade. Two first-round picks, by the way, which is what a team would have to give up, is less than the Browns gave up to get Deshaun Watson.
Right.
So, like, I don't think two first-round picks is actually that much. I think the bigger problem here is just the levers that the Ravens currently have.
And now there was also someone said that the rapper Meek Mill actually texted Patriots, yeah, owner Robert Kraft a couple of days ago saying that Lamar wanted to come to New England. And Kraft's response was, well, that would be up to Bill Belichick.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what Robert Kraft is doing there, honestly. Like, I love the guy, but what are we doing?
Yeah.
Hey, yeah.
Jeff, do you... Do you think
can you imagine, by the way, Belichick's reaction to seeing that?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's got to be like, are you kidding?
Yeah, maybe someone from his music genre, you know, he might go with it. But
like, they do business in a different way. Could you ever envision a scenario, Jeff, where that was a possible destination for him?
Sure.
Or are they locked in on Mac Jones?
You know why I could? I could picture it because I would have never thought that Bill Belichick signed Cam Newton.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that happened. He's done the unconventional. I don't think he's opposed to it. And you know what else Belichick really respects is guys who give him problems and fits. And Lamar Jackson has done that to the Patriots.
Jeff,
again, though, it goes back to the component of the Ravens are not just going to cower here.
Right.
I don't know. You know, Robert Kraft, certainly we're having the conversation because he opened that can, but I don't know that Meek Mill telling Robert Kraft that he wants to play for the Ravens or the Patriots really makes a difference.
Right.
Well, now we're going to get a letter from the NFL saying
Meek Mill is not certified. In all seriousness,
right,
like, if we're going to do that every time, I mean, I was not a big fan of that story in the first place. Like, you're going to put a guy on blast for trying to help Lamar get in touch with teams.
Right.
So let's, if we're going to stick to that principle, Where's the memo about Meek Mill negotiating with Meek?
Right.
I mean, it's so stupid. I get it, but it's also like, that's where we're at.
Do you believe, Jeff, that the Baltimore Ravens want Lamar, but they just want him at their price? Or are they've decided that they just want to go in a different direction at this point?
No, I think they want Lamar. I think they're very sincere about that. I mean, yes, of course they do. The contracts that they put forward for him are pretty solid. You know, I think that they have made clear that they want Lamar, but I think they've also sort of put their feet in the ground and said, this is how bad we want him.
Right.
But they've built their team around him in a way that actually was pretty commendable. You know, they put him in a position, I think he'd probably maybe disagree with this, but they did a good job of trying to put him in a position to succeed.
I mean, you can actually make an argument that if, in fact, the numbers are accurate, 3 years and $133 million guaranteed gets him to free agency again in 3 years. It's not the long-term guaranteed money, but he gets another bite at the apple 3 years later when he would be what, Jeff, 27 or 28? I mean, he's not an old player.
But the only thing I feel about that is, like, the reason you'd want a five-year guaranteed deal or six-year, whatever you're going for, is because you want that long-term stability. You don't have to want to worry about in 3 years whether you're, you know, healthy enough to do it. So I get where he's coming from. I just think it's going to be a very hard case unless he was actually truly in free agency.
ESPN NFL insider Jeff Darlington is joining us. Jeff, can you explain a couple of things, first of all, for me? Can the Ravens rescind the non-exclusive franchise tag on Jackson and then try to meet his trade demands? But what would be in it for a team to make a trade now as opposed to an offer sheet?
Because teams don't want to put in an offer sheet and have Lamar match it. So that's the one thing that my biggest takeaway from today is, this to me says that Lamar is willing to take the same amount or less to play for another team than he is for the Ravens, which is significant. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's probably, it's a really good question, because that's probably the most misunderstood aspect of this. I heard someone on our air actually saying this morning, well, this is just because he wants more money. And it's actually like, I don't know that that's actually true. I think this is more about, if he's saying that he wants to just be traded, like I said, any team can make that offer sheet, but then the Ravens can match.
Right.
He wants a team to be able to make an offer and the Ravens not be able to match it.
Mm. When this is all said and done, if it ever is said and done, Jeff, if you had to make a prediction, where is Lamar next year or this year?
I don't know. I keep trying to think of that because I know that that's the question of the day. And I just don't know how this, I guess, under control of the Ravens. I just don't know what that means. If it's on the tag, if it's on a deal, if it's a holdout. This has been so unconventional. And if you're having trouble understanding it, you're not alone. It's not normal. You know, and also, this is a very unique situation. And honestly, it has been a unique negotiation since the very beginning.
You know, when free agency negotiating started, the period opened, it was all Bears all the time. Ryan Poles trading the first pick. And then, and now we haven't heard anything, right? Is it? or are you hearing anything that he could still be a Trader Joe here with that ninth pick?
Wait, who?
Ryan Poles.
Oh, sure. That's a good place to be right now when you've got, what, three or four quarterbacks in the top? I mean, he could definitely keep making moves, I think, but more from a team building standpoint than a blockbuster, perspective.
Are there new thoughts? Are there different thoughts about this Bears organization in the NFL universe these days, Jeff? Or are there still people that say, "Hey, they've got a long way to go"?
Really good offseason, but I don't know. I'm probably like a lot of Bears fans when. It's like, yeah, no, that's cool. Let's show me. Don't just tell me what it's going to be like. So, yeah, I think they're knocking on the door and feel like they're headed in a better direction. But, you know, now they just kind of need to take that next step.
Speaking of quarterbacks, what's the resolution for the team up north with Aaron Rodgers?
Oh,
when
gosh.
Does that thing get finalized?
It will get done. Like, that's so different than the Lamar situation. I think that it's much more conventional, about just a matter of leverage and getting closer to the draft. Green Bay is going to want to use those picks this year, right? Because next year, if the Jets have Aaron Rodgers, they're not dumb enough to know that the Jets are going to be better next year. So, to me, people talk about who's got the leverage there. The Jets have leverage, too. The Packers, like, will want to use those picks because what will be a good pick this year, next year, if your second-round pick is probably going to be much later in the second round because the Jets will have been much better next season. So there's leverage points all over the place. Once they kind of have a deadline that will be that draft, I think it gets done, no problem.
Aren't these meetings when the Jets could be planting little seeds that, oh, we might be interested in Lamar just to force Green Bay's hand?
I had that conversation today. It'd probably be smart business. I think the Packers probably see through it a little bit.
Yeah.
But, not a bad play. It's a little dangerous. You don't want to blow anything up but if you want to create some urgency, wouldn't be bad to maybe say, hey, Lamar Jackson, 2 first-round picks in a similar contract?
Yeah, Jeff, how big an issue is this? There's been a lot of talk about it. There's a lot of conjecture. There's a lot of opinions with regard to Lamar not having an agent. What is your take on it?
I'm kind of one of these people who says, like, let's judge it when the deal gets done. Like, I think we all get a little antsy in this business. If he had signed the contract that's on the table from the Ravens a month ago, I think we'd all be like, wow, look at Lamar. Look what he did. What a great contract. Like, does anybody really know or care what these players make? They just see a really big number, and we all go, holy cow, look how much Lamar Jackson's making.
Right. You know what the difference, though, that like we saw here in Chicago with Roquan was that you're hearing about the hurt feelings a lot quicker than you would with an agent.
For sure. But I don't know. I mean, I have an agent in broadcasting, and I always wish the agent wouldn't tell me the bad stuff, but he always does. So it's not like they keep their mouth shut.
No.
They call you and tell you, oh, yeah, ESPN said this. You know?
Who's bad-mouthing you at the in Bristol, Jeff?
Yeah, you need to work out more. You're a little too skinny for it, you know?
Hey, aside from Roger Goodell getting another contract extension in excess of $65 million a year, what else is going to be accomplished at the owners' meetings this time?
The Rules Committee stuff's always interesting, so we'll see tomorrow. There's some stuff on the table for, you know, roughing the passer, being reviewable, given all the stuff that happened this past year. That's probably the most interesting one. But otherwise, pretty tame. Nothing too crazy. Honestly, Lamar and Aaron are probably the biggest stories here.
Are we getting any closer to at least a conversation about a sky judge being put into effect?
That hasn't been on the docket this year at all.
Really?
So apparently not. Yeah.
Well, the other thing that they decided not to look at was the rugby scrum that the Eagles like to use. So they're not even looking at that. So that we'll see more of that next year, which is interesting.
Yeah, maybe next year.
Yeah. Well, it's always fun, Jeff. Have fun with these guys.
Absolutely.
It's trying to detect which is real and which is not, and it makes those meetings fun, I'm sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you, Jeff. We appreciate your time.
All right.
Thank you.
It really is amazing, the story with regard to both Rodgers and Lamar Jackson. Like, you would have thought, we would have all thought probably that there would have been a resolution for both at this point.
Right.
I said this when the Rodgers thing took place. Part of me is, and there is a financial component to it, because I do believe if, in fact, they wait to trade him to June 1st, it saves them $25 million on their books.
Right.
But it also takes a first round or second round or whatever your compensation is going to be for this year completely out of the mix.
Right.
Part of me just thinks, like, they're also, like, Aaron had some not-so-nice things to say about Goody and the organization.
Right.
Like, hey, you made us wait. You held us hostage for, you know, a year or so about different things. Well, we're going to make you sit and just kind of...
You think that's what they're doing?
I think part of it is their posturing, because they want to get as much from the Jets as humanly possible.
Because they don't have any... They have no leverage. Aaron Rodgers is not coming back. They don't have any leverage.
They have to
get it done.
Yes. They can make him sweat a little bit in the process. But again, he costs them more on the Jets roster than he does on their roster.
Yes, that's true.
The way the contract is set up. So there's no rush for them, other than they want to get the draft compensation for this year, But if the draft compensation's what, a second or a third, whatever it is, maybe they're content with playing the petty game.
It is crazy. It really is.
It is. I mean, listen, and the Lamar Jackson thing to me is also...
I find that fascinating, to be honest.
Too. I understand what the Baltimore Ravens have done, though. Like, he hasn't been able to finish the season in each of the last 2 years.
Correct.
Brilliant player.
Right.
Everyone talks about the unanimous MVP. That was in 19, or it was in 2000, and was it 18 or 19? Like, it had to have been in 19 because Aaron Rodgers was 20 and 21. And I believe that it went MVP Lamar Jackson, then Aaron Rodgers won the following two. It's been 3 years. Like, and he plays a style that puts a little bit more stress on the body. And as somebody said to me a long time ago, listen, your legs are going to wear out before your arm does. So when you, as you advance in age as a quarterback that has relied a lot on being a dual threat, there will come a point in time where you can't do as much on the ground as you used to do. So you're going to have to do more with your arm and from the pocket. Now, does that change how people value him if, in fact, they don't look at him 3 years, five? In 5 years, is Lamar, with as much as he exposes himself to physical contact, is he going to be the same dangerous dual threat at the age of 28, 29, and 30?
Well, and without an agent, is his ego allowing him to admit those things, or he won't include them? He turned down, reportedly, ESPN reported 6 months ago, that he turned down a contract that included $200 million in guarantees only if he was on the roster by the fifth day of 2026. So they had some injury protections in there that reportedly he turned down.
Right.
And so that, when you don't have an agent, can you be that honest about your...
Without taking things personally.
Right, right. I mean,
I think
that's
he's
just
a fabulous player. I think he's a fabulous player.
I do too.
But I also believe there's added risk to how he plays the game.
Of course there
is. So, like, I can understand why Baltimore has made the decision that they made. I don't look at the Baltimore Ravens and say, well, you're the bad guy in this. I don't think there is a bad guy.
No.
This is the nature of the beast. This is the nature of the business.
Everyone's doing what they are able to do.
I just don't know that there's a team out there that is going to get... Look, again, because the Browns did it, I wouldn't use the Browns as a shining example of how to do things in the NFL.
It doesn't matter to a player, as you know. One team did it.
I know.
I want the same thing.
I can't see somebody giving him $250 million guaranteed, again, because of his style. He hasn't played in the last five games of each of the last couple of seasons.
Doesn't make sense.
So
it doesn't make sense.
He'll end up somewhere.
Well, he's not going to sit out and forfeit that contract.
$32 million.
No way. No way. I can't see it happening. And I've heard former players say that they could see him doing it. And I just can't see it.
Boy, that's a heck of a principle to stand on for sure.
Wow. Hey, we have the good, the bad, and the dirty.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Something good, something bad, something dirty from this weekend.
So I need to come up with that, don't I?
You do, yes.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I only have a couple of minutes here,
huh? You better start working on it.
All right, we better go to break so that I can figure that out. All right, we'll be right back.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is Waddle and Sylvie. Listen now in HD on our app and on ESPN 1000.
The good.
It's gone! Oh, my God!
The bad.
That is so bad, that is absolutely brutal.
And the dirty.
I'm talking about nasty.
Wow. So many stories are running through my head right now.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
Well, it's the good, the bad, and the dirty. Brought to you by Finishing Chicago. Right.
Did you
here.
Have any bad or dirty this weekend?
I had to think
we
about
had good.
It.
I mean, Friday counts as a weekend activity, and obviously the 25-year anniversary celebration. It was fabulous, wasn't it? It was great to get everyone together.
It was wonderful, and unfortunately, one of my sons had called me, and whenever, you know, the college kids call, like, I have to take the call because you never know what's going on. And Sandy Dickerson, JD's mom, stopped and was saying hello to me, and I was talking to my son on the phone, and I couldn't get off the phone, and I wish I could have spent more time with her and her husband.
But George and Sandy were there and stayed for quite some time. I think most people, a lot of us had a good opportunity.
Yeah. That made me feel really good seeing them.
That was fantastic. It was good to see all of the partners of the station and then all of the fans as well.
It really was.
It was cool.
I don't know what I was expecting. And back in the old days of radio, when we would do shows like that, when I was on the old AM 1000 and Kevin Matthews show, we did shows like that, and it was like these giant, large crowds. But I haven't seen that in 25 years. I mean, it was packed.
It was huge.
It was
good. It was fun.
Do we know how many people were there?
That I'm not sure. Not sure.
All I know is it was sold out. I don't know what the capacity is there, but it was sold out.
It was multiple levels, you know, like a theater. So it was pretty amazing to see every level packed with people.
Yeah, it was cool.
Really fun. Okay, so what's your good? My good. Okay, my good is Caitlin Clark.
Okay.
Iowa, triple-double, 41 points, 12 assists, 10 rebounds in their win over Louisiana, or LSU, was it?
No, LSU's in, right? Aren't they in the Final Four? Am I right?
Oh, Louisville.
Louisville, yeah.
It was over Louisville. I'm telling you, there. I saw some guys watching the tournament, and I had asked, I was somewhere, and I asked someone, I said, can you put the women's game on? I think there's some women's games. There were no men's games going on.
So much more enjoyable than watching the men's Iowa basketball team or the men's Iowa football team.
Did you see the stat that's been going around? Caitlin Clark's scored more points than the highest scoring Iowa football game 5 times this year.
Oh, my gosh. I mean,
that's hilarious.
And you know what's really, well, for me, what I notice immediately, her game is really unbelievable. But if you see some of these players, like Aaliyah Boston is the player of the year from South Carolina. You see some of these players, I mean, they are cut. These women are cut. Not Caitlin Clark.
No.
No. She's tall. She's fluid. She's just fluid. It really is, guys. I'm telling you, you get a chance, you should watch it, because especially now, you're watching some of the best female athletes.
Is it nice not to have UConn in the tournament?
Yes.
Do you have Gino Auriemma?
Well, they were in the tournament.
Well, I mean, at this point.
Not at the Final Four.
There. Is there some fatigue with him?
I would say yes.
Yeah.
DePaul women almost pulled off an upset over them. I think it was their last game of the season. Yeah, I think so. That's why what we were talking about earlier, it's nice to see some new teams in it.
And on that note, that is my good. I have enjoyed the NCAA tournament. I think it's been entertaining. I don't have any problem with the fact that you've got a 9-2-5s and a 4. Connecticut is really the only quote-unquote blue blood left. I think it's been entertaining. I don't believe, as I said earlier, it's been the most aesthetically pleasing. There have been some rugby matches. There's been some scrums out there.
Oh, yeah.
It hasn't been, you know, graceful at times. But, I mean, going back to some of the upsets, Purdue losing. Who else did you have losing early in the tournament?
Arizona
mm-hmm. loses. I mean, I think it's been entertaining. I don't believe that this is like the beginning of some new trend. I just believe that this is something different this year, and it's been enjoyable for me.
I think it is the beginning of a trend. I think you are going to see more teams that you haven't ever given any consideration to watch play college basketball are going to be contenders by far. I think NIL and the transfer portal has totally opened up the doorways for this to happen. And, I mean, pay for play, it's happening.
Yeah.
It's happening, and I think that's what we're going to see.
Tyler, what's your good?
My good. San Diego State's head coach, Brian Dutcher. Did you see his celebration after the team went to the Final Four? So they do their...
He didn't take his shirt off, did he?
No, he did not. So he actually may have instilled a little more trust in his team, because they go up on the ladder, right? Everyone cuts down a piece of the net, and the coach is the last one to go up. And you cut down the last string on the net, and then you hold the whole thing a net. But what does he do after? He does a trust fall with his team, falling backwards off the ladder. And his team caught him after.
Oh, my. No way. No way. Have you ever done the trust fall?
Hell no.
Not even like with your kids when they were younger?
No.
Oh, yeah, you got to do it with
Should
your kids.
Should we trust Fallen in the break?
It's well,
do you trust any of us to catch you?
No. At this stage, no. I don't want anybody.
Come on.
No, I can't.
Come on.
Laughing.
One for all time. I think you got to play catch up.
The old guy just hit his head on the floor. He's out. He's not going to be back.
He's not young. Brian Dutcher is not young either.
And falling off a ladder, too.
Wow, I'm looking to see. Aggressive.
Oh, okay, he's about midway up the ladder. And then he, holy cow, I just saw it. That's pretty impressive.
That is.
Kendra, that's my good for the weekend.
I actually have two really quick ones. Purdy, we talked about it. He's going to get a real shot at being the starting QB. They say it's going to be a competition, but he went from Mr. Irrelevant to actually have a chance to be the starting quarterback for the 49ers. That's crazy. And Rodney Terry, head coach at Texas, is going to get a 5-year deal, which is good for him. Stepped in for that Texas team after Beard did what he did and took them, I think it was like 22-8.
Yep.
And then, so, good for him.
They never looked back. Yep. After Chris Beard was suspended and then eventually let go, Rodney Terry, the interim and longtime assistant, took over. It's great. Yeah,
good for
it's
him. Great. For sure. What's your bad,
okay, Peg? My bad is going to be the cab driver outside of House of Blues after the 25th anniversary. I'm angry about that.
Really?
My husband hailed a cab, and he got in, and within 3-4 minutes, I came walking out, and a listener from ESPN 1000 stopped me, and I started talking to the listener as I was walking over to the cab, and the cab driver honked to hurry me up.
Let's go!
Honked at me. Like, that's bad. That is terrible.
That's a lack of manners.
And I said that to him. I said, that was very rude. And he said, well, I have other rides to pick up.
And then you decided that wasn't the cab for you.
And I got out. And we left him.
Good for you.
And he started screaming at us.
Bad for him, good for you.
What's your bad?
My bad, season premiere of Succession was last night. And I know this is not going to be a popular bad. I was very underwhelmed. I love the show. I'm not going to not watch it. It feels like it's jumped the shark early.
Oh.
And I hate that feeling. I will watch it. I hope it get better. It feels like some of the dialogue now has become too cute and too smart and too funny, and we're trying to outdo ourselves. I was unimpressed. I just, you know, maybe I set the expectation level too high, but my bad was the season premiere of Succession. Maybe I'm just a television snob at this point.
Why don't you go smell Greg's finger, huh?
Oh, God.
Now, that was kind of funny, but, you know.
Tyler,
what's your bad?
My bad is the internet at Madison Square Garden from over the weekend. Did you see what happened with one of our Good Karma Brands teammates, Ken LaVica, who is the voice of Florida Atlantic? In the final 30 seconds of the game, the entire strip of internet went out.
Oh, no.
So he lost connection and nearly did not have a chance to call the greatest moment in university history.
Oh, wow.
Of them going to the Final Four. Luckily, they were able to have some workarounds, and someone from ESPN West Palm was able to help him out. So he was able to get on the air and also was the beneficiary of a late timeout by Kansas State that sort of bought him a little bit of time. So he ultimately did get the final call off, but he almost didn't because the internet crapped out at MSG.
Oh, my gosh. That is something. Kendra, what's yours?
All right, not to be a Debbie Downer, but we had
a... Oh, because that's exactly what we look at you as, Debbie Downer.
Okay, well, we had a very serious school shooting today, and my bad is just, you know, not to be political, but we need people to come together and figure out how to prevent kids and staff and students from being gunned down at their schools.
I believe this is in Nashville.
It happened. Private Christian school in Nashville.
Yeah. It is.
Six people lost their lives.
Oh, it's just horrible.
It's just terrible.
Really
horrible.
Terrible.
Yes.
Okay.
You're dirty?
The dirty. I got to go with Chuck. I got to go with Charles Barkley on 60 Minutes last night. I have to go with when he was talking about, he was asked about the possibility of him and MJ repairing their 10-year separation.
You know where that started.
Yes, with you guys.
Yes.
You guys started it.
I mean, they should know by now because we say it all the time. But
he was asked point blank, you haven't spoken to Michael Jordan in 10 years. Is there a chance that you can repair that relationship? And he said, quote, I got an ego too. You can't be great at something like that doesn't give you the right to be a jerk. He's got so my number.
This isn't gonna. Yeah, this isn't gonna that's be solved not, anytime soon.
No, that's a little dirty. Yeah. I think he could have. He could have. But he's Chuck.
Well, but not just that. But he's been on. Like, I think Chuck's in the right here, as Chuck has always said. Listen, I've got a job. I've right. got. You know, I lose. You know, I lose the respect of people of in my credibility if I'm not telling you what I think.
Right.
And I don't think that what he. I think it was the question I asked him too about. I feel bad about it, but like I think he was honest. He's got too many, Mike's got too many guys around him that won't tell him, you know,
the truth.
What he, right.
So, right. What's your dirty?
My dirty, I don't know. I mean, is my dirty the fact that I did watch pretty much every minute of the Bulls game yesterday? Another big win against the Lakers? Like, listen, at this point, this is who they are. This is their lot. They're closer to the 8th seed than they are from not being in the tournament.
Yeah.
I made it clear that I think the best chance for them to get out of this NBA malaise is to find themselves with a 42% chance of getting the number one overall selection or being in the top four. That's not going to happen, so I guess we have to cheer. But my dirty was how Vooch was treated. Vooch fouled LeBron and then was arguing the call and got teed up twice, so he got kicked out of the game. Like, I don't know if he was cussing the ref.
In Serbian.
So maybe what he said was horribly inappropriate.
Do they know Serbian?
I don't know, but whatever. Inappropriate is inappropriate regardless of the language. But I'm more upset that an official would kick somebody out, tee you up twice, and boot you from the game for that.
Yeah.
That felt a little dirty. Like, what are you doing?
Feels a little double jeopardy right there.
Well...
You know? Did it feel a little dirty that they kicked him out for that?
I'm not going to lie. I wasn't really... I had a half eye on the Bulls game yesterday.
Come on, man. But they won 5 of 6. Zach's scoring 30 a game in the month of March.
We got to talk a little bit about some funny stuff from that Bulls game as well. Yeah. Tyler, what's your dirty?
My dirty... You know, we all have Windows. We all have phones. We don't need CBS giving us the storm warning that's covering up half the graphic of the score that's going on in the Texas-Miami game. I mean... I was incensed when there was a jump ball at one point and that storm warning's there. And I'm trying to find where the possession's going. But nope, we got to know about the storm warning down in Peru County.
You couldn't see the time left.
No, you right, don't care. Exactly. What about the people in Purdue? Or
they can look outside.
County.
They've got phones. If it matters to you, you probably have a phone with access to getting the storm warning.
You are
warning,
one college sports fan.
Listen, you cannot, for public safety, you cannot argue about them giving a warning, okay?
You never been in a tornado?
But you've got a phone that's going to let you know.
No, not everyone does. You have to realize that. The dirty is that CBS has been running these games forever. They need to come up with an upper font, an upper graphic, not a lower graphic, knowing that this is going, things like this can happen at a key time in a game.
That's why you're the television specialist.
That's the dirty of it.
Kendra, what's your dirty?
All right, my dirty was... Kaylin Clark's triple-double, I believe she did that team so dirty. She was going up against another star, Haley Van Lith for Louisville, and she just didn't care. She just got them with a triple-double. And I think they said she was the first person to score men's or women's a triple-double in an NCAA tournament.
I love it. I love it.
Box office.
And I love that's dirty, too.
Hey, speaking of the tournament, when we come back, I know you think that this trend of smaller or, you know, lower seeds is... But I want to revisit history to see really if this is something that is going to take hold.
Okay.
All right. Not that I want to argue with you because I don't
know,
really
I feel
want
like
to do
you do.
That.
I feel like you're.
I'm down on you for calling Carl a bad tipper.
Okay. No. Can I please? Okay. That should be my dirty. Me calling Carm.
Yeah.
I did not call him that, actually.
You did.
I suggested.
Yeah.
I suggested. Yeah. And that should be my dirty. Gosh, you guys are not going to... I still have 3 more days of this this week.
Oh, you're not going to be... Yeah,
oh,
no,
Lord, help me. Yeah. All right, we'll be back.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. This is Waddle and Sylvie on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
All right, Peggy's in for Sylvie all week, so...
Not tomorrow.
4 hours a day.
Yeah.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
I don't know how you guys do this.
We just keep talking. We just keep talking. I'm in the minority here with regard to the thought that the NCAA tournament is on the cusp of something new. Like, I think you and Tyler feel the same way. Kendra, I don't know if you feel like we're on a new path in terms of the blue blood, so to speak, are not going to be as prominent.
The best player in college is probably Scoot Henderson. He's in the G League. So they have.
So there's, it's going to change.
It's going to change.
So you think it's going to change?
It has to.
Okay. I would just, with that in mind, last year's final was Kansas and North Carolina.
Right. Blue Bloods.
Won by Kansas.
Blue Bloods.
The year before that, Baylor and Gonzaga. Maybe not Blue Bloods, but what did you call them, Tyler? True Bloods?
Those are True Bloods,
True Bloods because they're basketball schools who win often.
2020 was no-go because of COVID. 2019, Virginia, Texas Tech. That's a little bit off, you know, but I believe that year Virginia was a one, weren't they? Were they a one seed?
They were, yes.
Mm-hmm. Before that, Villanova beats Michigan. In 2017, it's North Carolina and Gonzaga.
Where do you put Villanova?
Villanova won twice.
They're not a blue blood. They're more of a...
They're a new blood.
New blood.
Okay, but they've won... They won in 16 and in 18. Like, but they, it's not like they are FAU or they're not Miami of Florida.
San Diego State.
Or San Diego State. North Carolina beat Gonzaga in 2017. Villanova beat North Carolina in 2016. In 2015, it was Duke over Wisconsin. 2014, it was Connecticut over Kentucky. 13, Louisville over Michigan. 12, Kentucky over Kansas. Then 2011, you go back to there, it was Connecticut over Butler. 2010, it was Duke over Butler. 2009, it's North Carolina, Michigan State. Like, maybe you guys are right. This is going to be the first time you're going to look at this list, unless it's Connecticut. Everyone thinks Connecticut's going to roll. That this is going to be a final where you look back and go, wow, something that we really never expected happened. But you guys think that this is just the start of something different.
Well, you have Jay Wright leaving because he's like, I cannot get into this game. This is not the game I'm going to play. And I think that when you have those blue blood coaches leave, that's when that leaves the door open. And that, there haven't been many of those programs that have won with multiple coaches. UConn has, obviously.
Well, right. You had Jim Calhoun in 11. You had Kevin Ollie in 14. You may have Dan Hurley, in 2023.
Yeah.
So, look, you guys may be right. I'm just not willing to go there just yet. I think that, yes, we're on a different path because of the NIL situation, but I think that there's going to be some guardrails installed at some point. And I don't know that we're going to be able to just say, well, the days of Kansas being in the Final Four every year is going to be gone just because they weren't there this year.
I think I think you can't keep expanding the Blue Bloods to include everybody. The Blue Bloods are the standard five, right? It's Kentucky, Kansas, UCLA, North Carolina, Duke, right? Okay, yeah. Those are your Blue Bloods. Then you have your New Bloods, which are pretty competitive in basketball on a year-in, year-out basis. And now you have these New Bloods who... Like, all of a sudden, it's like, what's going to happen? This is like going from Lake Forest to Clarendon Hills. You have your Lake Forest old money, and you have your Clarendon Hills new money. And that's just how it is. You don't erase the Blue Bloods. They still live there historically, and they will still continue. They just may not be making the kind of money that you see with, you know, high-tech people who are living in the newer neighborhoods and that are the new blood neighborhoods. I think you are.
It's
going
to be fun to watch to see whether or not this is an anomaly or this is the start of something different and new. Because I think you can make a case for, listen, I don't necessarily need to see North Carolina every year. I don't need to see Kansas every year.
Well, and
Danny
Zetterman
thinks that it's going to suck because no one's going to be drawn to their television for the Final Four because you don't have recognizable
Is it going to mean higher ratings throughout the regular season for schools that maybe teams were not you know, people weren't watching them before, and now they're going to watch. They're going to sit up and watch, you know, a WAC conference game or whoever it is now.
I got to tell you, like this, I've probably watched less college basketball leading up to the tournament than ever before.
Me too. Me too. Hey, also at the NFL owners meetings are going on. When we come back, we can check in and see what's going on with the Bears. They are scheduled to hear from Ryan Poles this past hour. He was scheduled to talk with reporters. President and CEO Kevin Warren was also going to meet with reporters today. And then head coach Matt Eberflus and George McCaskey will meet with reporters tomorrow. So lots going on in the NFL world as well. We've got a lot more to talk about.
Yeah, we got a lot of calls take as well.
And we've got 312-332-3776. A lot to do. Good thing we have another hour.
All right. We could go to 8. We could sit in with Black and Abdallah. I don't think they want us to.
But. No. It's okay. Waddle and Sylvie. I'm Peggy filling in. We'll be right back.